Welcome to the reality and brutally honest truth about special needs planning. My name is Patrick Barbieri, Executive Director of Lab Collaborative. All right, first of all, quick announcement. Lab reunion dance coming up quickly, September 20th. That's a Friday. So just want to remind everybody to get their information to Paula Rizzo as soon as possible. Such a great event, and at our new location at the Burlington Marriott. It's just a really nice, classy place for all of our graduates. So really looking forward to that. All right, so today is part two of my family's experience with a person with special needs, my sister Michelle. And you know, this, again, a lot of this is not planned. As I said in my last one, it was hard to get this communication across in a podcast format only because I didn't have my thoughts organized. So I've just decided to compartmentalize each section that I want, you know, to give to the lab community or anybody else and just talk about it. Again, there's not a whole lot of pre-planning to this. I kind of jot down the top three points that I want to, you know, get across to everybody. So I hope you're enjoying this. If you have any questions, feel free to email me, call me. It really doesn't matter. I'm here to be a resource, and that's really what I want people to know. Thank you. Okay, so what I'm going to start off by doing is sharing with you the spreadsheet that I keep talking about that you should really put together. You know, it's not just for you. I mean, it's for the people around you who may need it in case you can't access it or you just need to give somebody information. It's just good information to have. This took me a long time to put together just because you know, the information was in many different places. So as I started to put the spreadsheet together, just my way of organizing it, I use an Excel spreadsheet. Certainly use whatever you feel most comfortable with, but let me just run down it. I have some categories here that I started off with, and it was kind of a mix, but then it just became much more defined for what Michelle's needs were. So I have, it starts off with her accounts. So there were really three main accounts that we have for her now. Certainly her bank account has all the numbers and everything to log in. Also has a Fidelity account, which she has money in as well for the future, and an Able account. So if you don't have an Able account, you should get one. I just put out a blog post about a lab graduate who was featured on CNBC. Listen to that because he talks about how he uses the Able account, and there's just so many benefits to this. So you can only get it through Fidelity. You can sign up online. It's really easy. And what I do for Michelle's accounts are of course, she gets SSI, so she can only keep a certain amount of money in it. So if the money goes over, all I do is transfer it to the Able account. And I'm not going to get into all the details of the Able account, but the point is that you can put a significant amount of money in that and not have to count that for the person's revenue. It's a great, great thing to have. So all the numbers are here. Passwords, all that stuff to be able to get in. And I have alerts on all of these. So if it's getting close to the $2,000, the bank alerts me in a text, and all I do is transfer. It's really easy. Sometimes I need to transfer money from the Able account back to her bank account just to cover the automatic withdrawals. I have her email account. It's an old one, but I still have it here. She doesn't use it really that much. I have her social security numbers and things like that, her phone number, address of a group home. The important people to get in touch with there is also on this. Then there's a category for doctors. And again, my sister doesn't have anything significantly wrong with her, but she has a lot of doctors that she checks in with. So, you know, she has a primary doctor, she has a dentist, she has a foot doctor, a dermatologist, nutritionist, her eye doctor. So again, all the doctors are local now. All the numbers are here. And then I actually have her account numbers to be able to get into, because I do everything online to set up appointments. All her summaries from her doctors are on there, which would be required if I need to get those to DDS or MassHealth. I just log in and I get whatever I want. But all the information is here for that. I have her MassHealth account, so if you fill out the MassHealth forms online, which you can do, and I highly recommend you make a copy of those. But all the login information for that is here. Her job coach is on here. Sometimes I need to get in touch with them. More often than not, they're getting in touch with me, but if I call them back, I have the number handy. I have the ride number and also the ride account, because we keep money in there. If we need to update, I just go in the account online and I put that information in there. CPAP. I just want to go get back to this. Her CPAP is a constant struggle. If you have a son or a daughter with Down syndrome, most likely they will be on a CPAP when they're older. And that can be a whole nother topic. I actually want to have a doctor come in and just have a conversation about the whole CPAP routine, because it is quite complicated. There's so much information on there. I talked to many people about what they've done with their son or daughter, and just getting, you know, to be able to dial it in correctly, have the right equipment, is really hard. But anyways, if I order new equipment, it's all online. It's really easy to do every 3 months. And I also can check all of her CPAP readings online. So it's just amazing what you can do with technology. But I tell you, this tool, I was just talking to somebody about this the other day, is really the best tool for identifying whether the CPAP is actually making a difference, if it's actually doing the therapy that it's supposed to do. Because I can track, you know, what she's getting for apnea. So if she's getting more than usual, more apneas per evening, it could be a couple of things. Most likely it's that the head strap is getting loose. She'll loosen that up. So I need to call her and say, you know, you got to tighten that up, get a tighter seal. But you can track that every day. Again, I'm definitely want to have a show on that, because part of managing her life, I can't be there every night to make sure that the CPAP is working. But that is such an important part of her being independent. And a CPAP machine is pretty complicated. And if she doesn't get the sleep that she needs, she's often just, you know, yawning a lot, she's tired, I'll get that feedback. So teaching her how to manage her own machine, even though she'll never do it 100%, is extremely important. Again, I mentioned the ride. Mixed reviews on the ride. For us, it's been very positive. If you asked me 4 years ago, I would have said it was really negative. But it has been really positive lately. There's also transportation that she gets to her adult center. I have that information on here. Her payee account. I'm her rep payee, so I need to fill out the form every year on how she utilizes her SSI funds. It's almost like doing taxes. I do it online, so I have all the account information for that. MassHealth Connector. And I also have all of her work information. She works at TJ Maxx, but there's just contact information here in case of an emergency. So those are the main, you know, topics or headings that I have on there. You know, if you look at the spreadsheet, it just looks like a lot, and there it is, because there's numbers, addresses, passwords, login information. Just no way that you can remember this all. So get it out of your head, get it onto a spreadsheet. It doesn't have to be perfect. Maybe it's something that you go back to every so often. If there's a person that would take this on in the future, you may want to show them or share it with them. Of course, there is confidential information, so you might not want to share all of it, but it's just a good process. It's good practice to go through. And it just, again, it's not for you. It is for the people that will be taking care of your son or daughter in the future, and you just never know when that's going to be. And if you want to make their lives easier, make this spreadsheet, because you're putting them through a whole lot of torture having to get this information if it's not there. So again, I this took a long time for us to put together, and we changed it quite a bit because, as I said, we changed our doctors, we moved things around, and it's in a good place now. All right, so that's number one. The second topic that I wanted to talk about was, I was at my sister's group home meeting last week. We meet maybe 6 times a year. And as I said, we are fortunate because they're just an amazing group of people with just great knowledge. So I enjoy these meetings. I go to most of them, but, my brother will go to some. And we we'll trade notes sometimes and just talk about, how things are going. But so this meeting, we usually talk about, what's going on in the house, things that we need to fix, things need to be updated. If there's social events, what monies need to be in the funds, just a lot of small details that you'd never think about. Certainly when the seasons change and the weather changes, you're talking about just how you're keeping everything clean as far as snow goes and things like that. But we're just constantly in touch with each other about how these things are going. But it was an interesting meeting because for my sister's house, she lives in a creative living option. So the house closes down twice a year for 2 weeks during July and 2 weeks and the holidays, winter holidays. So, it goes pretty smooth. The house is being cleaned at that time. So when they come back, everything is in order and really organized and just, keeping things clean in the house is extremely important. So that's done at that point. But, for some parents, and this got brought up, is that, having their son or daughter be home for the 2 weeks in the near future is going to be hard, whether they can, take care of them the best that they can is starting to come up. And that's a hard question because they've been in the house for 10 years. So now they're kind of looking at the next 10 years. What's going to happen in the future if somebody is not there to take them for the 2 weeks? Not everybody has a sibling or a person that's going to be willing to do this, but now these are questions that need to be answered. And the thing I like about this group is that they're forward thinking. They're not thinking just about the here and now. They are. They're getting things organized and they're getting things done in the here and now, but they're also planning for the future because we're not having one meeting and looking at this and saying, yeah, you're absolutely right. We got to fix that now. Maybe this will get worked out in the next couple of years, the next 5 years. But we agreed that this would be a topic of conversation for our future meetings. And again, like I tell parents to have discussions about this with their families for the post-22 world. I mean, imagine now at age 60 or 70, you're having a discussion for the next 10 years because eventually it'll get to that point. So, it just was an interesting topic. It came up at the end. One of the parents brought it up, and I think we all feel comfortable saying things at this meeting, and we all nodded our heads. But here you know, my family is, you know, is now that the siblings are taking care of my sister, whereas everybody else, that they're the parents. So we're in two different situations, but they've seen what we've gone through, and that may not be a possibility for them. It may not be a reality. So what's going to happen? Is the staffing and the house going to change so they don't close the house? But of course, that's more money. Can everybody afford that? And how will that be funded? So again, a lot of questions and just good future thinking. And again, I implore you to have those discussions for today. Just, you know, never realize when it would get to that point when we're talking about the next 10 years of a group home. Then lastly today, you know, I wanted to talk about, you know, future planning and you know, I think about this quite a bit, and when I write about it, it makes me think, you know, how do I get this message across, and what are the things that we should be thinking about, you know, how are we determining, you know, what we should be talking about for the future, but that's kind of thematic to what I'm talking about, so I'm just trying to get everyone to at least look to the future at some point. But I give you an example. I gave you the example of the CPAP because that had been an issue for a long time, and it was becoming almost like an independence issue for my sister. And, you know, there's not a curriculum that we teach in school to learn how to use the CPAP. But at one point, you know, for her, it became one of the priorities for her being able to function and be healthy. And she couldn't do it. She had a lot of difficulty. We brought it to a lot of sleep studies. And it was starting to really impact her. But we don't think about that as a curriculum, you know, piece for today. I mean, we'll just deal with that in the future. They don't need a CPAP today. But it was major. So I think that what you want to do, whether you're coming to a parent alumni group or you connect with other parents, is, you know, the real experts. So the, you know, that not that they're experts, just the real experiences of what you're going to be dealing with in the future. You're going to learn that from listening and talking to parents who have their son or daughters who graduated 5, 10, 15, 20, 25 years ago. And if you ask them, is there anything that you would do differently now, today, if you could go back in the future, you know, what is it that you'll do? Because you're working on, you know, what you feel is most important. I know there's a lot of stuff out there and people talking about independence and things like that. But again, if you look at the realities of someone with special needs living on their own, what is it that they're going to be, what's going to make them most successful? What's going to make them happy? And I reflect about this, about my sister all the time. You know, if I was sitting around with my family and we talked about all the things that we struggle with today, you know, what is it that I would have her do if she was back in middle school and go right through high school? Again, for everybody, it's going to be different. So I don't want you to think that this is just the way I think for everyone. But for my sister, you know, it's work is important, but she has a place to go. And she's a fairly high-functioning person with Down syndrome. She's very savvy social media. She can walk uptown. She can walk to Cumberland Farms, cross the street on her own, get a coffee, walk back. She's too savvy on social media, and that's a whole nother topic because we have to monitor that all the time. But she would be considered on the higher end, and she still has an issue keeping jobs today. She's had a job for a long time, but the hours have got limited just because of her performance on the job. So if you look at the world of work and you look at it as being a, okay, my son or daughter is going to work full time, 40 hours a week. Again, talk to parents whose son or daughters are similar and what experiences that they've had. Because I know from my sister, just up until last month, 2 months ago, I had to talk to the job coach, the director, the person at TJ Maxx, and, you know, was Michelle going to be fired? So these are the realities. I wish she had more experience at work. She has a pretty good work ethic, but she has a hard time connecting it. And, you know, she tends to want to do things her way, and that's not the way TJ Maxx wants her to do it. Then, you know, life skills. You know, I think she's got some pretty good skills with, you know, taking care of herself, doing laundry. She needs to be reminded, though. Taking care of her room, she needs organization help. We do that quite a bit. Telling time, you know, she's pretty good with that because she uses her devices to help her out with that. There's organization skills that I wish that she spent more time on. And it's hard because for her to compartmentalize her life, that's a hard concept for her. But she has a routine, and I think because she's in this till house and they're so organized and they're so structured, that has been a huge benefit for her. I think that she could have used a lot of that in her earlier life just because she would have been that far ahead. So just being able to get along day to day, those organization skills are huge. Medication. I have her list of medications. I don't know if I mentioned that on this list. And there's been periods where she could take her own medication. There's been periods where she was not able to. And again, this was also could have been an impact on her ability to be in this house because she has to be at a certain independent living to be part of a creative living option. And was kind of teetering on some of these independent skills for her to be able to take her meds every single day at the right time and the right amount. We're just not there. She can take the meds, but she's not going to take them every day. She's just not going to remember to organize them. So again, my point is just to look to those parents in the future that have had their son and daughters have graduated. If you need resources or you want to come to an alumni group to talk to those parents, please take advantage of that because there's a lot of great things that happen. All right. There will be a part three to this. There are a few more items that I want to talk to you about. But again, this is my experience. I'm not saying that I'm an expert in it. I'm just, as a family, this is what we've gone through. This is what we're dealing with in the present moment. And we just want to pass the information on to you. Thank you.